Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal. I begin with news from Ukraine. It turns out the U.S. won't even let Ukraine consider peace talks. I mean, give us a break. Give us a break. With a mask off, the collective West is now eagerly showing its bestial grin, Dmitry Peskov, spokesman for the Kremlin, observes. Ukraine's Western backers, and the U.S. in particular, are doing their best to prevent Kiev from entering into any negotiation with Moscow. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov has said. The official made the remarks on the sideline of talks between Russian President Putin and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping in Moscow. He was asked to comment on recent statements by senior Western officials. Is that any peace initiative for Ukraine, should it arise from the Russia-China talks, because China was especially eager to promote it, would be unacceptable. U.S. National Security spokesman John Kirby, for example, claimed any ceasefire in the current situation would only ratify Russia's reconquest to date rather than contribute to peace. As though a peace agreement didn't involve a negotiation and a compromise, Russia obviously is not going to surrender the territory it has taken. Washington, European capital, but first of all, Washington is filled with a desire not to let, under any pretext, Kiev enter into peace negotiations. They simply do not let Kiev even think about it, Peskov said. Ask whether it were now normal to incite war rather than call for peace. He replied affirmatively. Now, when the masks are off, everyone shows off their bestial grin except for Russia and China. During the talks, the Russian and Chinese leaders discussing a 12-point roadmap for peace in Ukraine proposed by Beijing, where Putin lauded the initiative, expressing his readiness to discuss and build upon it, while also reiterating Moscow's desire to seek a diplomatic solution for the hostilities, which have now dragged on for over a year. We believe that many of the provisions of the peace plan put forward by China are consonant with Russian stance and can be taken as a foundation for a peaceful settlement when they are ready for it in the West and in Kiev. However, so far, we have not observed such readiness on their part, Putin said after the meeting. The Chinese president has insisted Beijing continues to maintain its position on the conflict, has urged both sides to stick to diplomacy and engage in dialogue. We're always for peace and dialogue, and we firmly stand on the right side of history, Tsai stated. Meanwhile, Kiev is building up forces near Eryomovsk, getting ready for a major battle, according to a former officer. Andrei Morchko said the Ukrainian servicemen who have been trained in Western boot camps are now starting to arrive in the combat area. By the way, that's just one more reason why, if I were Russia, I'd be very pissed off with the West. Moscow. Ukraine is building up troops and equipment there. Eryomovsk, a town known in Ukraine as Bakhmut, suggesting Kiev is preparing a large battle in the area. But we know, and we've reported on Bakhmut, that Russia has all but completely succeeded in taking there. The idea is a buildup of forces in the area where President Zelensky said they would not leave Artyomovsk and had backed it up with action, increasing number of fresh forces being deployed there, but they're being wiped out. The average lifespan on the front lines for the new troops is 4 hours. Zelensky has decided to stage a grandiose battle there. Perhaps he has in mind a counteroffensive, was reported over Pravda. He also said Ukrainian servicemen who'd been trained at Western boot camps are beginning to arrive in the combat area. According to the Ukrainian sources, they are well trained. He noted that Western-provided armored vehicles are already moving from Western Ukraine to the engagement line. No reports yet of tanks reaching the combat area. What is known is there are a large number of wheeled armored vehicles on the way, multiple rocket launcher systems. We are detecting this. Ukrainian troops do have muscle thanks to their so-called Western partners. Earlier, he reported to TASS that Ukraine had significantly beefed up its troops in the major settlements to the west of that area that columns were passing through the town. Meanwhile, Putin says Russia will deploy nuclear weapons to Belarus. Russian President Vladimir Putin said Saturday, Moscow will deploy tactical nuclear weapons to Belarus at the request of Minsk. Announcing the decision, Putin compared the move to NATO's nuclear sharing program, under which U.S. weapons are deployed to the territory of five allied countries, Germany, Italy, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Turkey. There is nothing unusual here either. First, the United States have been doing this for decades. They have long deployed their tactical nuclear weapons on the territory of their allied countries, Putin said. The Russian leader insisted the deployment would not violate Moscow's non-proliferation commitments. Putin also said the decision was related to the UK shipping Ukraine depleted uranium rounds for its British-made Challenger 2 tanks. Depleted uranium ammunition is radioactive, linked to cancer and birth defects, especially in Iraq, where U.S. forces use an enormous number of the controversial munitions. In response to the announcement, the U.S. said it hasn't seen any indication that Russia is planning to use nuclear weapons. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby also said the U.S. hasn't seen Russia move any nuclear weapons around yet. Putin said the plan is for Russia to build a facility in Belarus to store the nuclear weapons, which will be completed by July 1st. Russia has previously provided Belarus with nuclear-capable Iskander missiles and is helping upgrade the country's warplanes so they can carry nuclear warheads. We have already helped our Belarusian colleagues to re-equip their planes. 10 planes are ready to apply this type of weapon. We have handed over to Belarus our well-known and very effective Iskander system that can carry nuclear weapons, Putin said. U.S. and NATO officials have remarked they don't see a reason to adjust their own nuclear posture at this point, but one way NATO could respond is by placing nuclear weapons in countries closer to Russia. The U.S. has not deployed nuclear weapons to countries east of Germany that joined NATO after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the dissolution of the Warsaw Pact. But some Eastern European countries are willing to host nukes, including Poland. Finnish officials have also not ruled out the idea of hosting nuclear weapons, and Finland is poised to join NATO soon. Can you imagine how provocative this is to Russia? I mean, look, they're saying how they haven't posted any nuclear weapons to countries east of Germany joining NATO after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But the number of countries east of Germany following the collapse of the Soviet Union that were supposed to join NATO was zero, zero, zero. Just one more indication of the gross way in which the United States and NATO have violated their most solemn agreements with Russia and the Soviet Union. Meanwhile, we have a report of Zelensky legalizing cyber hacking against Putin. Catch this. The Ukrainian government is working on a new law to bring one of its volunteer brigades into an official military role. The volunteer group in question is called the IT Army, a group of hackers that works to initiate cyber attacks against and prevent cyber attack from Russia. So far, this group has already claimed it was responsible for taking Russian state media websites while the country's President Putin was delivering the State of the Union speech recently. I think this means hacking, taking down Russian state media website. The group has also drawn a lot of criticism, though, since it had attacked some hospitals in Russia, as well as other targets that are civilian in nature. Surprise, surprise. The group of hacktivists has also recruited volunteers from other countries. All they need to join the cause is a smartphone or a computer with a strong internal signal. The new law being proposed in Ukraine would make the IT Army an official part of the country's military. It wouldn't be the first of its kind, though. Countries such as Estonia and Finland each have full-scale cyber forces that augment their country's regular military divisions. In some other countries, reservists who have capabilities in the cyber world are used instead of a dedicated group like Ukraine has. Here, there is a group called the National Coordination Center for Cybersecurity, working under the National Security and Defense Council for President Volodymyr Zelensky. The secretary of the group, Natalia Chatnik, recently told Newsweek via email, the law on the creation and functioning of cyber forces within the Ministry of Defense of Ukraine should be adopted as soon as possible. The law would become the basis for building the state's cyber defense capabilities, engaging cyber volunteers in these activities, and creating a cyber reserve. This reserve would be a group of cyber experts who are civilians. They'd be trained by Ukraine's military, and the country would have the ability to mobilize a unit to help defend the country anytime there's a conflict or an increased threat in the cyber world. While Thaka wouldn't provide more details on the law, it looks as though the cyber reserve effectively would absorb or replace the IT Army's volunteers entirely. It would essentially make the cyber group a more permanent and official branch of the military rather than just a hodgepodge of volunteers who work on their own accord. Apparently, members of the IT Army are all for this new proposed law. They emailed response to question Newsweek posed to the group, saying the interest they have would indeed be represented by the new drafting process of the Ministry of Digital Transformation. Part of the statement read, "We fully trust the efforts of the working group to legalize a massive fight in the cyber sector and welcome the moment when it will stop being the gray zone. We believe the integration of the IT Army into the Cyber Reserve will help in building a more effective defense against cyber threats." Meanwhile, we have a development in the United States that potentially promising if it can be passed. How the Holman rule allows the House to fast-track a proposal to gut government program without debate or much thought at all. A slim Republican majority in the House has just voted to give itself a streamlined way to fire civil servants and shut down federal programs it doesn't like outside the standard process of review and debate. This method, known as the Holman rule, H-O-L-M-A-N, has been used in the past by both parties to cloak political decisions in the language and process of saving taxpayer money. It was included in a package of rules approved by the House began its business in January. As a former acting general counsel of the U.S. House of Representatives, author of a treatise on governmental and congressional procedure, I know the author of this article that this method had been used in the past to push extreme political agendas through the political process without due consideration for the public interest, and it's likely to happen again. Florida Republican Representative Kat Kamak spoke about the Holman Rules adaptation on the House floor in early January 2023, calling federal officials, unelected bureaucrats, the true real swamp creatures here in D.C., saying they had run roughshod over the American people without consequence. Let me comment. Donald Trump has addressed the problem that there's 50 to perhaps 500,000 bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., so it may be the smaller number, that have permanent jobs or the executive staff that are civil servants who cannot be fired and who have assumed unto themselves policy shaping and decision making roles, even though they're unelected, that do not reflect the will of the American people. Trump has talked about what he designed as Schedule F as a way that would enable him to fire these people and get them out of the bureaucracy, which would be a good thing. So what is being addressed here by Kat McCormick, the unelected bureaucrats, the true swamp creatures, are precisely those Trump is targeting by Schedule F. This appears to be a partial implementation of what Trump had in mind. It would be a very good thing. Today marks our first move, and certainly not our last, to hold them accountable. Jacqueline Simone, public policy director of the American Federation of Government Employees, sees the Holman rule differently. It goes around everything that protects a civil service from political corruption. Not just federal employees, but entire agencies. It is precisely for theater and to create chaos and disrupt the operation of federal agencies, including law enforcement. The rule allows House members to transform the normal process of compiling appropriation bills, normally lists of amounts of money to be spent, into vehicles to fire government employees and shut down programs they don't like. Anything is ripe for cutting with a Holman rule, from environmental protection agencies to government efforts for human rights to existing programs for addressing sales of semi-automatic weapons. Normally, such cuts to staff or programs would have to go through an extensive review process, either to restructure or abolish programs. That process includes initial drafting of a full-scale bill, subcommittee and full committee hearings and debate, testimony and evidence presented by the president's administration, press coverage of these steps and adaptation of Congress members' positions in light of that coverage. Then votes are held on edits to the bill, known as markups, after which there's a separate committee vote on reporting the bill out to the full House, the drafting a committee report section by supporters or opponents, and even more after that. But Holman sidesteps that considered process. It allows provision for altering or abolishing programs to be offered to and made a part of appropriation bills, as long as a provision putatively saves money. Under Holman, individual House members offer amendments during full House consideration of a bill on the floor. As long as these amendments cut spending, they are considered proper. For example, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 created a program to improve the technology infrastructure of the IRS and hire more auditors to focus on the wealthy and corporations. Estimates are the program will cost $80 billion over a decade. Proposed changes to that program and legislation that goes the normal route through many hearings might get bogged down in debate. But under Holman, a critic of the program could just drop a change into the must-pass part of the appropriation bill that contains spending for Treasury Department operation and kill or alter the program. No one could stop that from happening unless they chose to vote against the entire appropriation bill, which funds that whole department of the government. Similarly, the EPA proposes to strengthen regulation limiting the oil and gas industry's methane emissions, a potent greenhouse gas. A House critic of the methane control program could just pop into the appropriation bill, contain spending on the EPA, a Holman rule, provision that either cuts the program's head salary to a dollar or terminates the program altogether. Historically, the Holman rule, named after Representative William S. Holman of Indiana, wasn't a tool of only the Republican Party. It was first developed in 1876 when a Democrat House majority faced a Republican president. I wrote about the history of the Holman rule in my book on congressional practice and procedure. At the time, the Democrat Party held what would later be called the Solid South. Today, these areas are usually Republican, and sought to expel Yankee Reconstruction and repeal the laws behind it. Democrats adopted the Holman rule to get those repeals of law past President Grant. The Holman rule could be and was put to diverse use in its early days. The Congressional Research Service says a broad initial construction of the rule by the House resulted in putting a great mass of general legislation upon the appropriation bills. The Holman rule was used from 1876 to 1895 and again from 1911 to 1983. Brought back into use by the GOP in 2017. When Democrats took over the House in 2019, they dropped it. In one notable attempt in 2017, House Republicans were angry about evaluation of proposed legislation by staff of the Nonpartisan Budget Analysis Division of the Congressional Budget Office. So they used the Holman rule to try to abolish that division and move its employees to another part of its parent agency, making the proposal in a wider budget allocation bill. Holman allowed disgruntled Republicans to rush their proposal onto the House floor instead of going through slower, more deliberative processes of examining whether the Budget Analysis Division was fulfilling its mission. The vote to eliminate the division failed, but significantly, the use at that time of the Holman Rule was promoted by the same faction of the Republican Party, the Freedom Caucus, that has advocated for using the rule now. There are a number of situations that could lead current House Republicans to use the Holman Rule. First, they may need to unify their party to pass controversial appropriation bills in the face of anticipated unanimous Democrat resistance. Allowing Holman Amendment to be proposed by members with extreme views may get needed legislative support from the fringe of the caucus. House package on provision to cut or wipe out programs and whole agencies has two effects. House Republicans can demoralize agency employees who do not know whether to take jobs elsewhere or stay, and House passage may presage passage by the whole Congress. An attempt by the Senate Democrat majority to kill a House pass Holman Rule provision when it considers legislation sent over from the House would need 60 votes to move ahead. That would require votes from almost a dozen Republican members, which may not be possible to get. An appropriation bill that contains Holman provision would then go to conference, a temporary committee made up of House and Senate legislators formed to reconcile differences in legislation passed by both chambers. Senate Democrats may go along, even with objectionable Holman or other provision, to get buy-in from all the factions of the House Republican Party needed for passage of the appropriation bill in avoidance of a government shutdown. That seems to me to be a good move and at least a partial implementation of what Donald Trump has had in mind with regard to Schedule F. I therefore commend it as appropriate, and we'll see exactly what happens here moving forward. Very, very significant.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Waiting on Jim.
No, yeah.
There he is. He made it.
Yeah. Hey. I know. We got it. I'd invited a guest to call in who's had experience with COVID and the shots and all that good stuff as a personal report, but we don't have her here at the moment, and it may have become impossible for her to join. So I'm going to continue with additional responses to what's going on here. EU ready to respond to placing nuclear weapons in Belarus with further sanctions. Belarus can still stop it. It is their choice. EU foreign policy chief points out Brussels. The European Union is ready to impose further sanctions if Russia deploys its tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus. EU Foreign Secretary Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell said Sunday. Belarus hosting Russian nuclear weapons would mean an irresponsible escalation and threat to European security. Think about that. Belarus hosting Russian nuclear weapons would mean an irresponsible escalation and threat to European security. What about Western nation dumping all these tanks and weapons into Ukraine to oppose Russia? I mean, the hypocrisy of the West is boggles the mind. Belarus can still stop it. It's their choice. The EU stands ready to respond with further sanctions. But bear in mind, all the sanctions they've imposed on Russia have backfired. They have damaged Europe. They have damaged the West. They have damaged NATO. They have damaged the United States. Russia is thriving. I mean, BRICS is going, the ruble's at an all-time high. There's a new development, of course, between Russia and China, because while Russia wanted to provide its natural resources to Germany, to Western Europe, to create an era of cordial relations that would have demonstrated that NATO is completely antiquated and useless, that it's no longer necessary to buy vast stocks of weapons from the United States, which, of course, greatly upset the military-industrial complex right here in the USA, which wants to keep the gravy train rolling. Russia has now been forced into a situation where it's turning to China to develop stronger economic and commercial relations, which are going to be hugely beneficial to China, massively detrimental to Europe, and where, you know, virtually every decision, it seems to me, every decision that had been made by the West in these matters has been a bad one. It's been mistaken. It's been stupid. And I'm forced to conclude that there is an agenda at work here, which is manifest in the very story that the United States is not allowing Kiev to enter into any discussions or debate with Russia because it would entail the surrender of the Donbass region and of Crimea at the min. Now, I have the impression that Russia would be okay with that, that Russia would be willing to settle and stop the combat under those conditions. But the United States won't let it happen. And I'm convinced that has to be because, as Jacob Rothschild observed, Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the New World Order, and the New World Order cannot move forward without Ukraine. Well, to hell with Ukraine then. To hell with Ukraine. I mean, everything that's going on here seems to be the right thing. If I haven't shared this now, and I cannot recall that I have, among the many reasons for Russia intruding into Ukraine for the intervention, the special military operation, which Vladimir Putin outlined in a definitive way in a statement on the 24th of February, 2022, when he launched the incursion, not only is it the case that Ukraine wanted to become a member of NATO, which was intolerable to Russia, as Russia had long since made clear, but it turns out there was about to be a major assault on the Donbass to wipe out the ethnically Russian, Russian-speaking, Russia-friendly population there. And Putin knew of the plan and intervened in a preemptive strike to prevent it from happening, which no doubt saved millions of lives. I mean, it was a right thing to do. But in addition, we know there are what, as many as 40 different biolabs there, including very weird stuff. I mean, not only to produce vaccines and, you know, that were being tailored for genetically Russian population, and others are trying to design a bioweapon to kill Russians specifically. But there was a lot of sex trafficking, child sex trafficking, and the like. Get this. Russian soldiers discover baby factories in Ukraine. Kids are grown for child sex brothels and for organ harvesting. I mean, this is disgusting. Carlo Domenico Cristoforti reports, a video has surfaced of Russian soldiers describing how they found a baby factory in Ukraine where young children are raised for the pedophile child brothels or murdered to harvest their organs and sell on the black market. The video is published by the People's Voice and mentions how other sources in Russia have covered the issue, but Western media excuses it as disinformation or propaganda. There are good reasons, however, to believe that this footage depicting the horrors discovered by the Moscow army in war zones is reliable, primarily because it was relaunched by Brian Shavely, editor of the Catholic site Health Impact News, who has always proven to be a very reliable in choosing his sources on scientific issues related to the pandemic and developed many journalistic investigations and reports on this terrible topic. The nation, led by the pro-Nazi regime in Kiev, which protected the paramilitary Azov battalion with their emblematic tattoos in homage to the SS and to Satanism, with the arrival of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, made itself known for the LGBTQ propaganda now forbidden in Russia in the organization of gay prides in June 2019, where even minors were being welcomed. This happened exactly a month after the election of the former comedian of Ashkenazi descent, Volodymyr Zelensky, as president. For this reason, is very close to the Zionist lobbies which defend transgender culture, thanks to their support of the famous Jewish Masonic Lodge, B'nai B'rith of Washington. To understand Israeli LGBTQ propaganda, we have to learn the difference between Masonic Zionism and Judaism, an extensive, difficult issue where I want to bring in a speaker on exactly that topic. Furthermore, Ukraine is one of the main countries in the world where surrogacy is practiced, also known as womb for rent, because it's easy to reach for all gay male couples in the European Union who want a child. You know, you hire a woman to carry a fetus to term. This diabolical cultural intrigue between business speculation on children, transgenderism, and Nazism with Satanist drifts represent the ideal breeding ground for the proliferation of very serious phenomena, such as a commodification of children, both for the pedophile sexual purposes and as resources for organ transplants. There's a video here of the Russian soldier reporting. Meanwhile, pedophilia could be described as a cultural nightmare of the third millennium. Why doesn't everyone agree that pedophilia is a crime against humanity? We know there is a cultural lobby that wants to lower the age of consent for minors. There are many scholars who argue that pedophilia is by birth and therefore must be respected. Pedophile days have been celebrated for years. With these words, the Sicilian priest Don Fortunato De Noto, founder and presidente of the Italian nonprofit society Meter on the Side of Children, commented on the alarming statistics elaborated by his network for monitoring and contrasting child pornography sites. Thanks to his investigative activity on the internet, also conducted in collaboration with the state police in Italy and other police forces around the world, in 2019, he discovered around 7 million images and almost a million videos with acts of pedophilia on minors. 4,006 of these videos were with infants aged 0 to 2 years. I mean, how grotesque and horrific can you get? How come last year we denounced the trend of rape newborns, but nobody said a word? Why do VIPs take the field for other types of violence while no one raises their voice for their children? Wondered the Catholic priest, denouncing the horrible cultural trend that makes a video shot in Ukraine quite worthy of belief. Because the videos of rape babies are not a function, but a devilish and chilling reality, absolutely horrific. Let me say, those who know no better, who question, for example, whether child sex trafficking is taking place in the United States, go to my blog, jameshfetzer.org, and check out Jim the Conspiracy Guy, the 65 shows, and scroll down, you don't have to go very far to Pizzagate. I mean, it's absolutely staggering what you'll discover there, including, for example, that when WikiLeaks released voluminous documents related thereto, it included an email about how Barack Obama had spent $65,000 flying pizza and hot dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House. And bear in mind, when you talk about pizza and hot dogs, the White House, as a matter of policy, will not accept food at the outside, will not accept food from outside sources. So the idea is ridiculous on its face. Plus, if this really were pizza or hot dogs, then they'd be soggy and inedible by the time they were flown from Chicago. I mean, what a ridiculous idea. It's not as though you can't get pizza or hot dogs elsewhere from other sources, such as right in Washington, D.C. It turns out in the language of pedo speak, pizza is slang for little girls and hot dogs for little boys. So what we're learning here, and you can see it documented in my piece on Pizzagate, Barack Obama flew in little boys and little girls from Chicago for a private party at the White House using $65,000 in taxpayer money. Stand by. Well, I'm pleased to say that we have been joined by area code 631. And I believe we have here my guest. Noella, are you here? No. Yes, I think so. We're going to call back and see if we can get her back. I'm telling you, the horrors of Pizzagate are very real.
Hello?
The Democratic Party has played. Oh, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, great. Well, I'm so pleased to have you on. Please give us a little sketch and background of how you got involved in all this and why you think it's so important to come forward and explain what happened in your case.
Okay. So does your audience know a little bit, or am I?
No, very little, only minimally. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, my name is Noelle Florio, and I am a New York educator for over 20 years with my district for about 15. And about, I want to say, June 7th, 2021, I call it the Rubicon. I wrote a letter to my superintendent invoking my constitutional rights. And he didn't really take kindly to that. And it was with regard to the mask mandate, particularly. And basically, it was that I was respectfully declining the directive of Andrew Cuomo at the time. And that turned into a series of back and forth with other administration. In fact, the superintendent never directly responded to me from that date, which I, you know, presumptuously think it was because of his oath of office that he's sworn in to take. And I basically was forced on an unpaid leave. There was a lot of, I had tried to get a mask exemption from my physician because I have an underlying condition as well. And he wrote one for me, and later was strong-armed by the district to rescind it. That was in August when the mask mandates were re-implemented, because here in New York, at the end of June 2021, they lifted them. And then when the kids went back to school in September 21, they reinstituted the mandates. So that whole story, you know, happened again for me. And they said, you know, you're not coming in. You're not allowed to come in. They forced me to stay at home, unpaid. And that's what I've been dealing with for literally the last 2 years. We're approaching the anniversary of it in June. And it's just been back and forth. And just to add, in order for me to return, if I should so choose, with the mask mandates lifted, they forced me to undergo what's called a 913 exam under New York State law, Section 913. And it's applicable for all educators. It is a law. And it's to screen whether they're mentally or physically fit to teach children. And I apparently did not pass the test. Does that help?
Well, tell me exactly what was the test testing for? I mean, you know, you're obviously rational. You're articulate. You know what's going on. I was offended by the mask mandate. I began research way back when. I mean, I've been reporting on this since like March of 2020. I've probably done 500, maybe more, reports about the pandemic, which was fake. It didn't cause any change in deaths in any age group, but the vax, which was real, bringing about lots of deaths. I published a dozen or more articles, studies about the mask mandates and how they do no good, actually do harm. Indeed, even Tony the Rat was involved in research on the Spanish flu in a group project and discovered that most of the deaths weren't actually from the flu, but from bronchial pneumonia, which was promoted by wearing face masks. They yes. obviously restrict the amount of oxygen you get into your blood that kills brain cells, which, unlike skin cells, for example, do not regenerate. And, you know, it does puts additional strain on your cardiovascular system. I've had, I'd say at least a dozen studies about this, including from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, which is the leading scientific medical organization in the United States, where they were talking about six or eight different studies themselves within their article, their very comprehensive overview, explaining how even in the operating room that masks are only used to keep spittle coming from those who are working on the patient from contaminating the patient. And that yes. everything we've been told about the masks is unscientific, unsound. I'm a part of a health clinic right here in Wisconsin that really has an excellent reputation. Now, I have been protesting that they had a mask requirement just to go over for routine medical calls, even to a very well-known physician who became my personal physician. He's on radio all the time and the like, Zorba Pastor. And I explained to Zorba how this was completely unscientific and inappropriate, but it was a policy of the clinic. And he explained to me that I would not be able to receive medical care there unless I wore the mask. Well, I find a mask offensive on all kinds of grounds. I mean, if you want a simple reason, you don't have to have a medical condition. You like to breathe. If you like yep. to breathe, you ought to oppose a mask mandate. And you know, it's had all kinds of traumatic side effects, including little kids have been stunted in their speech development because the fact that adults and others with whom they're interacting verbally are wearing masks, they cannot see how their mouths form the words. And it's had a deleterious effect. I'm worried we may have lost a whole generation of kids to all this happy horse shit related to the mask mandate and everything else related to the fake pandemic, which appears to have a genocidal objective. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are right lockstep with you. For me, the vaccine, the jab mandate was not even a question. It was completely off my radar because it was simply that I was never engaging in it. The masks were so much more offensive to people that I took a position on it because, you know, let's face it, they were innocuous. They were seemingly harmless because, oh, just put it on. It's what's the big deal kind of thing, you know, lest you stick a needle in your arm. That's odd. That's a glaring invasion, right, of your privacy, of your medical, of your autonomy. But the masks were such a pervasive symbol of compliance, suffocation, don't speak. And I struggled with it, particularly because I teach middle school children who are on a good day, you know, just so insecure, trying to navigate their bodies, their minds. They're going through all of their changes, and it was painful to me. I also have a little boy with special needs who it was just non-negotiable. He was the only child in the entire school district that wasn't wearing a mask because I would not allow it to silence these children. It's in their developmental, in the most fundamental years of their growth, right? So this, as I said, this has been going on, and you know, the district had several opportunities to have an amicable conversation. I requested on several occasions, please, let's just sit down, human being to human being, let's just have a conversation about it. But instead, they took this authoritarian approach of shut up, you fall in line, and you better, that's it. There's no discussing this. Follow the orders or get out. And this is what I've been engaged with this whole time. And then, of course, being deemed apparently suffering from psychotic features, or basically Dr. Solomon, who is the gentleman who I was referred to, and I was forced to go to. And by the way, the law says you could choose a physician of your choice, but it seems that this man was the hired hand for not only my school district, but apparently over 60 school districts on Long Island, who basically, I would think, gets rid of problem teachers. So my thoughts on all of this with the, I did not fit the mold for a compliant, rational, sane teacher. I seemingly was psychotic because I disagreed with the same things that you just brought up, Jim, about the wanting to breathe, wanting to be seen, wanting to communicate with humans. You know, I definitely articulated that you are taking away the fundamental exchange between human beings.
You're absolutely right. What you're describing is a Stalinist era. If you're not politically correct, you're mentally ill. So you're either with us or you're a candidate for an insane asylum, for a straitjacket, or for institutionalization. I mean, it's outrageous. We're about to hit the break, but I'm so glad you are here, and we'll continue our conversation right after this break.
I appreciate it. Wonderful.
Delighted you are here.
My pleasure.
So if I misjudge timing, and we let's keep going until the break comes. Here we go.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Get this. U.S. Department of Defense issued a contract for COVID-19 research in Ukraine 3 months before COVID was even known to exist. Just stunning stuff from the expose. The world first started to hear about a novel coronavirus in early January 2020, with reports of an alleged new pneumonia-like illness spreading across Wuhan, China. However, the world did not actually know of COVID-19 until February 2020, because it was not until the 11th of that month that the World Health Organization, the WHO, officially named the novel coronavirus COVID-19. So this being the official truth, why does the U.S. government data show the U.S. Department of Defense awarded a contract on the 12th of November 2019? To the Labyrinth Global Health Incorporated for COVID-19 research at least a month before the alleged emergence of the novel coronavirus and 3 months before it was officially dubbed COVID-19. The shocking findings do not end there. The contract awarded in November 2019 for COVID research was not only instructed to take place in Ukraine, part of a much larger contract for biological threat reduction program in Ukraine, let me say. When they talk about threat reduction, it's like, defensive weapons. This is all the opposite. It means to proliferate, to develop biological weapons to be used against human beings like you and me. Noel, pick up, please, with your story and tell us more about the situation in your state health system.
Well, I don't think it's any mystery that New York is one of the, I believe New York and California were lockstep in terms of the lockdowns and the incentivizing the vaccines and just shutting people down and their brute force in terms of the compliance issues or lack of, but particularly with the educators. Let me tell you something. I work in a district where there's 9,000 students that attend. That the staffing in terms of teachers are concerned, there's anywhere, I want to say 800 to 1,000 educators, and then there's also teachers' assistants and what have you. And I found it very troublesome that I was the only person in the district that had a problem with masking children to the extent that I was vocal enough that they thought I would be a problem too. You know, I wasn't a problem enough that they would have, that I would have maybe inspired people to join in, right? Because even if people even heard about what was happening, nobody seemed to join in. And I just found that extremely, extremely upsetting. And again, there were so few people. Everyone that asked me, what, you know, oh, is this because of the vaccine mandate? And I say, no, it was the masks. It was I just don't understand why anyone would comply to begin with, why any of this. And again, none of it makes sense. You start digging down the rabbit hole and you start realizing, or just even if you don't dig down the rabbit hole, it didn't make sense, because if it were scientifically based, then why would certain states have mandates and certain states not, right? If it worked in Long Island, then it should work. Then it should work in Florida. It should work in California. It should work in Texas.
Sure.
So why did states have mandates and certain states didn't?
Very nice point, of course.
And
the fact is, it was politically driven. So you had Democrat-controlled states that were all in on the mandates, just as the Democrats are all in on the Ukraine war. I mean, it used to be the Democrat Party was skeptical of government. It used to be the Democrat Party was strongly anti-war, but now the Democrat Party is all in on war. The Democrat Party is all in on stealing elections. The Democrat Party is all in on subverting the Constitution. And it seems to me, when it comes to constitutional rights, this whole COVID mandate business is a gross violation thereof. And, you know, but the Democrats are all in.
You know, I agree with you to some extent, but I also believe that there are the entire both sides of the bird, right? The red, the blue, the left, the right. There are players in the entire scheme of it that contributed. It was very difficult to discern who was on which side, and it just seemed to have come from a higher source. And that, again, actually, that is one of the reasons why I was determined that I was psychotic, because I actually used the word evil. The doctor asked, who do you think is behind this? And I said, an evil force or an evil presence that is puppeteering, right? And that was just my, I walked to my grave with that statement. And because I said the word evil and having a Christian faith, because I thought a lot of Christians believe in good and evil. And a lot of people believe that this is a spiritual war. And that I have Dr. Bregan, actually, who rebutted this entire thing. And he said, you know, think about it. There's a lot of people of faith that believe in good and evil. And why should I be persecuted, or why should I be deemed psychotic because of my faith? And that's really what this physician did.
Well, it's frankly absurd. I mean, there are degrees of bad in the world, and some acts are truly evil. It's a colloquial term. It does have to be interpreted theologically. It doesn't mean the existence of a devil or demons. It means the existence of horrific forces. They're willing, for example, to child traffic, to sexually exploit children, to encourage pedophilia. I mean, those are evil. And to have someone in a position of psychiatric or psychological classification to condemn someone for calling out evil as evil is, in my opinion, a monstrous abuse of language and an implementation of a form of thought policing that ought to be 100% objected and rejected in the United States of America. I mean, what the hell have we become?
What's evil, in my opinion, is that myself, my husband, and my four children have been considered agents of disease, that we could not go anywhere, that anywhere that we went. And what people don't realize, this is not part of my current story, but this started out in August of 2020. My son, in his first year of college, got kicked out of his university, you know, and they apologized for it afterwards, but for not wearing a mask in his dorm room. So that's, you know, these are the things that kind of spiraled out of control. And, you know, they were very apologetic and at the time, but, it was one thing after another. And I had said enough is enough, but to vilify, I can take it, but that my children had to endure this branding that was catastrophic, I have to say, to what my family's endured over these last 2 years. It divided us in many ways. It brought us together eventually, but it was very divisive and painful. Even in my own family, my parents, my sisters, you know, let it go. How do I put my head on my pillow at night? How do I let this go if I don't fight for my children now? How do you, I can't process that. Maybe some can.
No, you make it such a great point. You're saying it brought the family together.
Yes.
Eventually. But, you know, I mean, we've had divisions in my own family. I've been adamantly anti-vax. Of course, I've been covering it and reporting on it. And the other members of the family tend to take for granted what they're hearing on the major news network. My wife is addicted to MSNBC. They went ahead and got the vax. They went ahead and got the vax without informing me because they knew I'd be adamantly opposed. Now, it may be we're lucky because I'm in a small village just south of Madison, Wisconsin, and it looks as though the Midwest may have been spared out of the belief that they're largely Democrat-leaning. I do believe there's been a political motive behind all of this, in addition to the attempt to wipe out large numbers of the world's population. But it appears that most of the deadly doses were restricted to certain specific lots that were sent primarily to red states. So far as I can put it together, and it may be my family fortuitously got the equivalent of a saline solution or a placebo rather than the active vax. But I mean, people are dropping dead all over the place. Stu Peters has done a brilliant job, died suddenly. Anyone who hasn't seen that video needs to check it out. I'll bet you have seen it before. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
He's been doing a brilliant job.
Yes, absolutely. And even, you know, listen, I stopped watching mainstream media long ago, but yeah, you've got to give it to Tucker, who puts a nice spin. I mean, listen, I don't know what the reason is that he must be protected from some divinity, but at least he gets the small doses out there. I don't know what the angle is behind all of that, but at the very least, the people that are watching, and I mean, even on the other side, they are speaking a little bit about, from what I understand, I don't know, but people don't listen. There's that cognitive dissonance where you could have people lining up showing the detriments of masking or getting a vaccine, and people would still watch people drop dead in front of them and still go ahead and line up and say, oh, it wouldn't happen to me. You know, that's what we've been programmed, or the majority of, right?
Or they'll say, yeah, but I had a milder case of this, or maybe I lived a little longer because I got the vax, not understanding it is the instrument of their demise. I mean, it's incredible, as you observe, the cognitive dissonance phenomenon in this case is staggering.
Yes, it truly is. And not easy. It's not easy. I've made every attempt to resolve things, as I said, peacefully, to not even gloat and say, see, I told you so, because who wants to be wrong? Who wants to be wrong on this one? Nobody. And it's, there's supposed to be a coming together. I mean, to this day, I said to the attorney that's working with me, if we could just somehow reach a amicable situation, I will never return to that. I mean, I had my doubts about public education for many years, having been in it for so long and knowing how in the indoctrination that occurs there, and these poor kids are doing anything but learning in these public establishments. So in a way, this is a huge blessing for me to kind of carve my own road and spend the rest of the time trying to figure out a better way to educate kids. You know, what the things that they need to learn that they don't teach in school. There's a great book that's out, someone over in the UK that just published it. And I don't know if you know about John Taylor Gatto, but they took a lot of his philosophies, and that school is no place for kids. It really isn't.
No, tell us about it. Tell us about his book
I haven't read this gentleman's book, and forgive me, I listened to him Mark Atwood. Mark Atwood is very vocal about this. He's a wonderful gentleman over in the UK. I believe he moved to Ireland with his family because he was adamantly opposed to all of this, pulled his kids out of school, I believe. But he had a gentleman on who was inspired by John Taylor Gatto. And this gentleman, he was a New York City educator for many years. And he was the one that tried to bring to the attention of so many that they're indoctrination camps. They're not anywhere where kids should be learning. And listen, you could get a great education in New York City just by going and doing things and going on trips. But he fought so hard against the administration. They didn't want to hear it. And the irony is that he actually got Teacher of the Year, but I believe he was forced out at the end for being insubordinate. Which is, those I have in the charges that I'm facing, I have 5 counts of insubordination for not listening to directives. But he was eventually forced out for insubordination. But he supported, I think, what so many of us believe, that school is just, it's an indoctrination camp. And I couldn't handle it anymore. And then you add the masks on top of it. It was for lack of a better word, an evil environment that I couldn't participate in.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff. Just absolutely unbelievable. And you're not alone. I know a lot of others have been fighting this. Monique Lukens out in L.A., for example, has been fighting the good fight against the mask mandates and the imposed vaccine requirements and all this other stuff. I mean, it's outrageous. It's a violation of international law, the Nuremberg Code, which declares, among its other very important points, that no one may be required to take an experimental vaccine without informed consent, where informed consent means being given information, accurate and truthful and complete information about all the all the risks associated, the adverse effects it may potentially incur, which in this case include death, heart attack, stroke, brain damage, blood clots, and a mass of others. And there cannot be other less intrusive alternatives that could deal with a problem such as ivermectin and HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, both of which I've taken on numerous occasions, which is why they had to demonize. And this whole thing, because it was emergency use application, was approved by the CDC and the FDA without having to enumerate the ingredients. In other words, the way in which this was designed was diabolical. And if you want to ask, does the term evil apply here? Absolutely, 100%. This was evil. And it's still going on.
Mm-hmm. It is. And they turned many of the schools even worse. There's so many layers to this. They were turning the schools into clinics. They were where people were going and lining up by the droves to get the vaccines, the children, it was all incentivized. You know how much money the districts got, the billions, literally billions of dollars in grant money for I believe it was the CARES Act that was incentivizing the compliance, because not for anything. If you look at the executive order in New York, it's 202.17, I believe, the executive order for the mask mandate reads that everyone shall is required to wear a mask. However, those that are not medically tolerant, anyone under 2 years old and not medically tolerant, don't have to wear them. It has to be in compliance with the ADA Act, the New York Human Rights Law Act, and the New York State Constitution. So right there, they kept saying to me, you're not obeying state law, but that was state law. It was just the point that if they allowed one person the accommodation or the right to breathe, then they would have to allow everyone. And that was the fear. So the irony that they said I wasn't obeying the law, well, the law read if you were medically tolerant, intolerant, or forget about the law. How about God's divine given right that you're allowed to breathe on your own volition, that it shouldn't have anything to do with the man-made laws, correct? I don't know if you're in agreement with that.
Sure.
So there's many things.
They're pursuing us with a zeal and fanaticism typical of religious fanatics. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on here. There's no science to substantiate. And Tony Fauci is going to go down in history as the greatest mass murderer of them all, because he's going to be responsible for more deaths than all of our foreign enemies combined. Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Pol Pot. I mean, Fauci is going to be responsible for more deaths than all of them combined. It is stunning and outrageous. And the present administration is doing nothing about it. I grant you that the warp speed business took place under Trump, but I'm personally convinced he was played. I don't think Trump would have gone along with this for a second, and I'm only hoping he's going to denounce, repudiate the vax, declare Warp Speed was a huge mistake, and concede that he is contrite over having committed a colossal blunder. I have my fingers crossed.
I don't know how much I take heed in any of political systems anymore, and I agree with you that there's a lot of being duped, but I also believe that, you know, it's, what is that, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, and a lot of things needed to be revealed, and, you know, I'm sure you're very well aware of a lot of the programs I'm sure we mutually watch, is that you can't, how many times have we begged our family members, don't get it, it has this and this, even when you show the people, they still, again, going back to the cognitive dissonance, it just had to get that bad. And it's again, diabolical that so many people lost their lives. If they could have just seen it for what it was, they incentivizing, and never in your life, right? Never in your life did you see Mayor de Blasio eating French fries and saying you can have free beer and French fries if you get this shot. I mean, I can't. It's absolutely astonishing to me that very well learned people said, "Yeah, that's great. I'm going to go get a beer and some fries and go get a shot." It's stunning to me. It really is.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's lunatic, and that's the way they were promoting it. You know, you had the mayor of New York coming on with a whopper and saying, get a shot and get a burger at the same time. It was absurd. Or a free donut or whatnot for giving your life away, for putting your life in jeopardy, for running the risk of brain damage, a stroke, a heart attack, incapacitation permanently, or your total loss of life for a donut.
And furthermore, there was no, it was evident they put the guidelines for whatever the CDC is worth, which is nothing, of course, we know, but they did put, and any loss of life is tragic. And I want to make that very clear. Any loss of life is tragic. However, for what they were promoting, you know, if a survival rate of 99% or 99.9% and practically 100% for all children. And in fact, there's a gentleman named Brian Ward who has a website, covidpenalties.com, who brings this to light, that in New York, I believe specifically, there were no children that suffered fatalities from COVID there in terms of the way they broke it down. But if that weren't evident, if you couldn't get people to understand that the survival rate was that high and yet there was this incentivizing going on, and you're not able to connect the dots and see how pervasive this whole agenda was. Again, I don't know what to do. I just know that I can't put my head on my pillow at night being complicit. And I said it in my writing, being complicit in one of the greatest mind control experiments in all of human history. And, you know, there's Vera, I don't have her last name, but Vera Shirov. She was a Holocaust survivor, and she said in so many ways this, and I can't speak to this because I didn't go through it, but she was a Holocaust survivor, and she said that this was in so many ways perhaps even worse, because it's a mind war. It's tragic. I just wish more people could understand. That's all. And that's why I came forth. I just to give people the courage to know that if you can get through those really, really dark days and still come out on, you know, victorious or in following your faith, that more people will stand behind you. I'm living proof of that.
Yes. 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 Absolutely, Steve. We're about to hit the break. Anyone who'd like to call in and speak to me or Noel about all of these matters, you're welcome. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I'm so glad you were able to call in. I mean, I'm just delighted. And what you're talking about is exactly what's going on. You are boots on the ground in relation to these issues. Most of us only deal with it more abstractly, but everything you're reporting here, that's exactly what's going on. People are being abused. Children are being abused. Schools are being turned into instruments of death for the American people under the guise of protecting our health. The vax is not safe or effective. Outrageous. Outrageous.
Agreed. And hoping it stops. I'm really hoping it stops.
Yeah, let us hope. So anyone who wants to call in is welcome to do so. 540-352-4452. I'm so glad you have been speaking out, but you have been suffering the consequences. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous what has been happening to you. I am so sorry about this. Totally outrageous.
I appreciate all the support. It has been and continues to be devastating to the family. I don't know how we're getting out of this. And I really do hope there's a light at the end because, I am still in this David and Goliath battle with the school district, and their pockets are a lot deeper than mine. I could tell you that.
Yeah, of course. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read American Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, we got a call here from Scott in San Diego. Scott, join the conversation. Share your thoughts.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and your guest. I forgot her name.
Noel.
Noel. Hi, Noel.
Hi, Jim.
I'm experiencing a disconnect here. Okay, so we're of the mind that the shots are harming people. But I think we could all agree that only the most morally, spiritually, and intellectually bankrupt are taking the shots.
Scott, I don't think that's even remotely close to the truth. It's a lot of people who still believe in the government, who still think it's there to protect us, to nurture us. You're talking about a level of sophistication.
That's intellectually bankrupt.
Look, I think that's a really too harsh a term. There are just a lot of people who are naive and a bit gullible who have been played by the government, Scott. Now, you can congratulate yourself on being superior to them, but I think there are a lot of people out there.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not the smartest guy I know, and I knew better than to get the damn thing. I mean,
well, I'm glad,
come on, Jim.
I'm glad for you.
Think about the people you know that have taken it.
I'm sorry?
Think about the people you know that have taken it, and what kind of people are they? I mean, take your personal, relationships out of it and look at the type of people that they are. These are, by and large, they have no real spirituality. They have no real intellectual ability. They have no real morals. I mean, think about it. So if these are the people that are only taking the shot.
Scott, I don't agree with you about this. I mean,
even
members of my own family went ahead and took the shot in the naive belief that it was good for them. And thank God so far there have been no adverse effects. But, I mean, they don't fall into
people
the
in
category
my family
you're
have,
describing.
People in my family have, too, and they are as I described. So what I'm getting at here is it seems like the conversation is that the idea is that they want to get rid of people, but it seems to me that they're only getting rid of their own people, which would only leave people like us left, which doesn't make sense because, you know, they want to get rid of us. They don't want people that think for themselves. They don't want people that question the authorities. So it seems like a contradiction that's going on here.
Well, I think they're dealing in mass numbers. They want to reduce the world's population to 500 million. 500 million is the Georgia Guidestones declared. They're having a lot of resistance, a lot of protests going on. A lot of people are not willing to take the vax. But, I mean, they're doing it on a quantitative basis, and I think they're going to deal with those who oppose. Look at what happened with Noel. I mean, she's treated as though she were mentally ill because he's protesting, so I would take it that would be our fate, too. They're going to find a different way to deal with us, Scott. Meanwhile, go ahead. Okay.
Oh, I was going to say, well, what's your opinion about people that today, with all the information that we have now, that still wear a mask and get the shot? Don't you think those people are just broken in the brain?
Yeah, they should be killed.
Well, I don't know about all that.
Let me bring in Paul here. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, Paul. So, Noel, you're to be congratulated when you said that from what you could tell, you were the only one in the school district that had a problem with, masking children. And, you know, my immediate reaction when I think about stuff like this is you're the only one that I would spare. I'm tired of this crap right now. I mean, if it was in my power, I swear to God, I am very close to supporting the idea of shooting everybody that still believes in this. I still see mask wearing out here. I want to shoot them. Anybody that lines up and gets a vaccine should be shot. Under my administration, that would occur. I have pretty much no doubt about that. And I had a good thought when you were talking about seeing the psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever, and he asked you the question, who or what do you think is behind this? See, that was your perfect opportunity. It wouldn't have mattered because you lost your job anyway. You could have just told him the truth. It's the Jews, okay?
That would have gone down well. That would have gone down well, Paul. They would have gone further than merely institutionalizing her, calling her crazy. They would have put her up against the wall and shot her.
It would have been better if she broke into the German and went das Juden. It's always the Jews. And real quick before you respond, I got another thought. You mentioned the Holocaust, and I noticed that Jim let that go, which is fine, but I'm going to now correct you and anybody who's listening. There's four major Holocausts that I can think of that would qualify as a Holocaust, and the Jews were behind every single one of them. The first major Holocaust was the Bolshevik Revolution against the white Russians and against the Ukrainians. The second Holocaust was the Ukrainian famine, also known as the Holodomor. The third Holocaust was the Holocaust of the German people and the firebombing of all their cities, right? And then the fourth Holocaust was the communist Chinese that killed millions upon millions. They don't really even know how many Chinese lost their lives under the communist regime. And that was, they were all promoted by Jews. And then this latest Holocaust, the so-called pandemic, is also a Jewish pandemic, a Jewish false flag, a Jewish mind control operation, Jewish mass murder. So it's the Jews, the Jews. Thank you. I'm done.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you about these issues. I don't know that Noel needs to be dragged into this mass condemnation.
I know.
I
respectfully, I'm not inclined
disagree.
To any of that. And I just, for the same reasons that we're being lumped into categories and systematically, you know, dehumanized and vilified, I find it very problematic to lump anyone. I know many beautiful Jewish people, Christians. I know, and I have a very, very hard time speaking.
It's okay. I don't have a hard time.
And you're entitled to your opinion. It's just that I do not share
it's
that.
It's not an opinion. And after the show, perhaps Jim
it's okay.
To you.
Paul, it's okay.
Of the not all argument. So
You got your point across, Paul. Don't badger the guest. Do not badger the guest. Now, go ahead, Scott. You wanted to add a thought?
No, I'm just listening. I pretty much said my piece, I guess. Yeah.
I have a very, very hard time. I'm sorry, Scott. I just, any kind of violence, I just have a really, really hard time. It's making me uncomfortable.
This is violence against us. This is violence against us. What part of that do you not get?
I don't know where violence came in. I didn't see any violence.
So the vaccine genocide is not violence, right? That's not violence?
No, there is, but I just, this isn't the way to go about it.
The problem.
It's a little uncomfortable for me.
I'm dropping Paul. Paul comes on off.
She doesn't want to be attached to this kind of conversation. I mean, come on.
I just prefer peace.
Scott, that's okay. I when I have guests on, I don't like them to be badgered and bullied by callers in.
Too often.
And you're on the verge, but seem to be stepping back, which I appreciate. So
I'm on the verge. What did I do? I was just saying that Noel doesn't want to be associated with this type of a conversation. Yeah, yeah, I wasn't backing up anybody or anything. I was just saying
that's fine. That's fine.
Because that could be damaging.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and, you know, we know Paul.
We know Paul very well.
And I don't want to pass judgment on Paul. I share a different viewpoint, and I just prefer
peace.
Yeah,
we get it. Yeah, we get it. A very strong woman. Don't take, you know, what I said as anything but that I really admire what you're doing. I mean, you put yourself out there. I don't have the nuts to do that. You know?
Mitchell, I'd like you, Mitchell, to join the conversation if you would, my friend. Are you there, Mitchell? Can you join?
Well, hi, Jim.
Yeah. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Oh, gosh. I think what we have to realize is the first thing we have to do on anything today is you have to get past the psychology behind somebody's behind somebody, period. We have all been drawn in and kind of driven to a certain viewpoint, and I think that's a real problem, because that way, you know, we have these sides of censorship today. We can't really get the truth out because the mainstream media actually is pushing misinformation and disinformation. And with the, you know, the blessing of the government. So, you know, we live in such a dystopian time. You know, the first thing, you know, you have to do is to crack the psychology that has entrapped a person in a certain set of thought. That makes sense.
We got another caller from 816. Join the conversation, 816. First name and state, join the conversation.
Brian.
Brian, go ahead.
I want to point out to your guest, because what she's showing me is just the level of propaganda brainwashing over the years, because I'm sure she's not aware that Hitler's bodyguard, Emil Maurice, was Jewish. Okay. In addition to that, he was allowed to date Hitler's niece, Geli Rabal. They dated. So if Hitler was such a horrible person that hated Jews, why would he allow his niece to date a Jew who was his bodyguard? And why didn't Emil Maurice come in one day and say, "Gee, you just executed my family," or they went to the gas chamber, "I think I'm mad, and I think I'm going to shoot you." See, nothing makes sense. The other one that doesn't make sense is Alfred Rosenberg, who was like the shaman, the father of Nazism. He was Jewish. He was from Estonia, I think, and there was a Hungarian journalist, an investigative journalist named C-S-C-E-E, that went to his hometown in Estonia and dug on him and found out that he was Jewish. They did Yiddish. He was totally Jewish. So here you have the father of Nazism is Jewish. You have Hitler's bodyguard is Jewish, who dates his niece. His head of the Avar, Canaris, was a Greek Jew. They were all through there. And we just get total BS. And it's and the owner of Auschwitz-Birkenau was Warburg, okay? If things were going on in Auschwitz, why didn't the Jews just go to Warburg and say, "Gee, they're gassing all of our people. Can you shut it down?" You see, it's just so beyond belief how much BS we get.
Yeah.
So that's all
we Brian, we all agree with that. And I'm sorry we got so far off the track. Noelle's here to talk about the COVID and the experience she's had in the hospitals, and we're getting off into the Holocaust and all that. And it's just off the map in relation to this particular guest. We discussed those topics time and time and time again. So, you know.
But it's frustrating that all this keeps coming up and people don't know. So that's why I had to bring it up. Okay, I'll let you go.
It's all right. It's all right. Well, we only have go ahead. We got about 10 minutes left. Go ahead, Noelle. I'd like you to
I'm going to wrap up with this. I'm well aware of the things that have occurred, and I'm well aware of the parties in history that have contributed to genocides and great magnitude. I'm well aware of that. But I refuse to perpetuate an endless cycle of hate. And it's one of the reasons why I took my position. I refuse to lump people into categories. It's very upsetting for me to participate in any conversation like that. I've endured enough over these last 2 years. I have been ridiculed. I have been, as I said, deemed an agent of disease for my ignorance. I'm not an ignorant person. So I appreciate you so much for having me on the show. And I'm speaking to the fact that in terms of compliance, it's about the children. It's always about the children. And I just want to make that very clear that I do not align with anything that was said in these last few minutes. And if it's okay with you, I am going to end my participation in this. But I do thank you so much for letting me share my sentiments on protecting children and our future. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry it got off the rails here. I mean, there's some who just find it irresistible to pursue these issues in a certain way, which I frankly myself don't appreciate. And it's not the first time I've had to give one or another the boot. So I want to thank you for coming on and so much and sharing your experience. I think it's made a difference and an impact on the audience by and large, far and away. And I thank you for that. And once again, you have my support and sympathy. If there's any possible way I can assist, I want you to reach out and let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time.
Wonderful to have you here.
Okay. All right. Take care.
Yeah, I don't blame her. You know, she doesn't want to be connected with that kind of discussion.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset by that.
Well, you know, there was another subject I wanted to ask about, but just an in general question. You know how this where they're trying to normalize the transgender and all that. What do you think is the desired results of the normalization? Do they expect these guys as women to be able to just like hook up with men and not tell them that they're men, or I don't understand that.
The transgender business?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Go ahead.
Do they want to be able to just move about freely as if they're actually women and like hook up with men, and you not, I mean, do they not tell these men that they're trans, or, I mean, how is any of that going to end well? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure I do. Mitchell, can you help out here?
Yeah, I think I know what he's talking about. He's talking about when trans men, you know, pretending to be women, fish or blackmail or even for a few minutes punk some guy into thinking that they're a female. There was an incident just recently where a trans man alleged that or is that a woman? Hell, I don't know. Anyway, he hit she in the nuts, and they complained. You know, it's a man pretending to be a woman, but complaining about getting hit in the nuts by the TSA agents. You know, there was just an episode. I just saw it on Ock Nation, AK Nation, where a black woman found out that her husband or boyfriend was, you know, let's just say he was pitching and catching. And she murdered him live on Facebook when he was talking about it and telling her, you know, she went off on it. So, yeah, I kind of understand what Scott's saying that or asking that, you know, they do, you know, if you fool straight people, they get upset. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They want to be considered as real women. So I'm guessing that they go out and portray themselves as real women to straight men. And what happens if, you know, there's a relationship ensues and maybe marriage and then it comes out that they can't have kids and, well, this is why. I mean, well, how is that?
At what point would it come out that he still had a pecker?
Well, no, I'm talking about the fully transitioned.
Well, man, I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but, yeah, I guess that, you know, every person's going to have to be different and approach that in a relationship or however they choose, you know, their own morality. And, you know, as we can understand, you know, some people have taken sexual dysphoria and turned it into a normal reality. And it's not. And that's the thing of really about this. Library reading, you know, reading at children's story hours with drag queens and such. It's basically, it's to normalize 57 different sexual varieties to break down the child even further. And then that child then can be, well, for the lack of a better word, recruited and gone through a sexual boot camp through the indoctrination school today.
Yeah, they're being offered an alternative lifestyle, something to choose. But you know,
it's mind-boggling.
Somebody asked me a question recently that actually made me think, and I still think about it, and I really don't know what the answer is. But they asked me, why does it bother you? And I couldn't really answer that.
Well, sex, you know, gay, lesbian, transsexual, none of that bothers me. I don't give a shit about it.
No. I'm not talking about people being what they want to be. I'm talking about the grooming of the children and the story time and the strip shows and all that.
Because it's the degradation of the entire society. It's not a choice that those kids are really being able to make. You know, it's the same thing as telling, okay, we need to take all the boys and we need to put all the boys in military training. And we need to take all the girls and put them in the school training and mommy and baby making training. It's the same kind of bent ideology where rights and ideas and futures are stolen from kids. And this is the problem. They're too young to understand those concepts, and those concepts now, this indoctrination concept education that we have, we don't have education. You know, route memory, you know, stuff and taught basic critical thinking skills would be one thing, but we don't. You know, we indoctrinate children into this sexual dysphoria.
And they also, children really don't have a concept of long-term consequences.
Agreed.
You know, so that's one of the things. But yeah, that's a.
It
doesn't really bother me. It just, you know, when something comes up, you know, I hear a story on the news about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's when I think about it. It's not like something I dwell on.
Well, I would, you know, I, I would go back to one of the things that the guest and Jim talked about earlier. And that would actually be about, you know, this using these psychological tools to change kids over generations. And, you know, I think we've seen three or four of them just since I've graduated high school in 1978. And I can think of at least two that I went through. So, you know, this kind of turnover evolution, the continual revolution always happens and it never ends. And I think that's, you know, we've gone past knowledge and we're just trying to live a psychology world in a reality. I don't know if that makes sense. But we're about out of time, or we're out of time.
Yeah, Mitchell, right, thanks Mitch, a lot thanks for everyone calling in and for calling in. I was very appreciative of our guest today, and just realize how inappropriate it is to badger someone when they come on to share their experience by trying to compel them to share your point of view. Inappropriate. I don't like it. We'll manage to muddle through. Thanks for being here. See you Wednesday.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and